I've entitled this morning's message, How Great is Our God? Surprising title, isn't it, given all that we've been singing about? As I'm sure you're well aware, after our prayer session as well, today is Mother's Day. And as it's Mother's Day, I'd just like to, before I actually bring the word that the Lord's laid in my heart, look at a reading from Psalm 139, 13 to 16. It's a Psalm of David. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Wow. You know, that applies to each one of us here. The Lord knew us before we were even conceived. You know, it takes me back to my old friend, and her sermon wouldn't be without a reference to Jeremiah. But it was God who told Jeremiah this. This is him prophesying the word of God. I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and the future. That is the wonderful God that we've come to worship this morning. So let's just pray as we meditate upon that. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a loving God, one who answers all of our prayers. We may not recognize how you answer them initially, but when we look back over our lives, Lord, we can see where you open doors for us or close doors to keep us from falling and stumbling, because you care for your children 24/7, every day, as long as we are here, and for eternity for those who accept your precious gift of Jesus. So Lord, I just pray that you be with me now as I bring the word that you have laid on my heart. Take me out of it, Lord. Just use me as your mouthpiece, as it were, because we only need to hear from you, because only what you've got to say is important, and only what you've got to say will put us into mode for action to grow into the people that you want us to be. So Lord, I just give up this message to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Right, from the short passage we read in Psalm 139, it's clear, isn't it, that we were all formed in our mother's womb. But how many of us, how many of the people in this world today ever think to give their Heavenly Father thanks for what he has done for them, as King David did in that psalm? He realized that God was his creator and that God held his future in his hands. And there was nothing that he could do but acknowledge that. And you know, if you know and love the Lord Jesus, there's nothing else you can do either but acknowledge that. In fact, you have done. You've acknowledged that, even without thinking, if you haven't actually thought about it, by accepting his Son as your Lord and Savior, you've acknowledged that. David also tells us in Psalm 51, verse 5, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And we know that we were born in sin because sin came into the world, as we're going to read now in Genesis, where we could read about the story of Adam and how the Lord provided him with a helper, Eve, his wife. They enjoyed a pleasant and leisurely lifestyle, and the Lord only laid one restriction upon them. He told them that they were not to eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. Such a simple. And if somebody told me, everything's going to be nice for you as long as you don't eat broccoli. That would suit me, because I don't like broccoli anyway, you know. But, you know, that's joking aside. You know, we were told that they were both naked in the garden, and they felt no shame. They didn't know they were naked. And that was before Adam and Eve ate from the tree of forbidden fruit and sinned against God, their creator. I'm sure we're all well aware of this story and its implications. In Genesis 3:10, or 3:10 to 13, we read, Adam answered when the Lord called, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid. And he, that's the Lord, said, Who told you you were naked? Have you ate from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, The woman you put me here with, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this you have done? And the woman said, The serpent deceived me and I ate. You know, you realize there that none of them, the both of them, failed to accept responsibility for their actions. They wanted to blame each other and blame the devil. You know, and if we're honest, we can all be guilty of the same thing, can't we? It wasn't me, especially in school, not there. It wasn't me, sir, it was him next door. He was the one who was cheating. I haven't been a good boy. But you know, that's the sin causes that. We're all sin, we're told. We're all full of sin. They had a pleasant, leisurely lifestyle where they could walk and enjoy the garden and all it had to offer. And they could sit down when they wanted to. They could eat of any tree in the garden when they felt hungry, apart from the one they were told not to. But sometimes temptation's like that, isn't it? You get a child and you say, don't do that. And at times I think when you say, don't do that, you're actually putting the notion into their heads. And they want to do it to see how far they can push you and how they can manipulate you. You know, they didn't have to work, but from that time when they disobeyed the Lord, then the easy life ended. Eve became the first natural mother when she gave birth to Cain. We know that. But in Genesis 3:23, we are told, So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. We remember the Lord made him from the earth, and he was going back to look after the earth. Now, when you read through Genesis, I'm not going to deal on it too long, but you read through Genesis, he lived till he was 930, can you imagine? And he had loads of kids after Cain, Abel, and Seth. They're the first three that are mentioned. And the rest of them are just referred to as many sons and daughters after that. I'm glad I don't have to remember all their names. You know, but there would have been a lot. We read in Romans 5:17, For it was by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Wow. One man caused it. All that trouble, which could have been avoided if he had been invaded. But one man can right it all if we are obedient to his word. And how? It's so simple, isn't it? The gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16, makes it very clear and simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Couldn't be any easier, could it? But if you think, how long did you struggle with it before you accepted? How long was it before he brought you to your knees and you realized that there was no option, that you needed to give your life to him? Why was it necessary for Jesus to die on the cross? And we're coming up to Easter when we remember that time. Simply because, as we read in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see, we all require a Saviour. We needed someone who was pure, without defect. He became our sacrificial lamb to reconcile us with God the Father. Now, the Bible mentions many mothers when you read through the Bible, but Mary, the mother of Jesus, is the only one who had a son who was born without sin. In him there was no sin. We can read that in Scripture. Jesus was the only one that was good enough to pay the price of sin. He was the only one who was pure enough to make atonement that the Father could accept. That's why he went to the cross. Now, to accept his covering of righteousness, we need to accept his Father's precious gift, as we read in John 3:16. But Jesus explained to his disciples as well in John 14:6, where he said, he answered them, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again in John 3:3-8, Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Wow. Could it be any clearer? I don't know about you, but before I come to the Lord, I could watch anything on the television or in the cinema and enjoy it with abandon. But now I'm watching things on the television. I very rarely go to the cinema. But some of the things that come on there and you see them, it actually grieves my spirit. And I'm sure it does with you. There are things, or somebody says something, and you think, oh, what was the need for that? Or why is there a need for that? Before you accepted it, because you hadn't got the Spirit of God. But when you've got the Spirit of God in you, He points out these things. He's your conscience pricker, if you like. You know, it couldn't be any clearer. Yes, it's Mother's Day today. And I'm sure that many of us, if not all of us, can appreciate the strength of a mother's love. We've all had a mother. That's one thing we've got in common. We wouldn't be here without one. Some of us have lost their mother. I mean, my mother has been dead now. Ooh, quite a 50 odd years, right? Over 50 years. Probably is 50 years exactly, actually. 50 years, yeah. 74. But, I mean, she loved me that much that she used to annoy me because I could hear her praying for my soul when I was a teenager in bed. And I used to say, oh, Mother, give over. You know. But, you know, the Lord answered her prayer. And I'm so grateful that He did. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here today. I don't know where I'd be today without it, with what was happening. But, you know, we all know the concern that mothers love for their children, how much they do and will move within their power to provide for their children, but their abilities and they're limited according to their resources, aren't they? And you know, I think it's good to have limits. I think it's good to have resources. Some people say, oh, it's poor, they can't afford this. But that teaches such a lot when people have got to strive to achieve something. It's like getting muscle power. If you don't use them, you lose them. So you've got to keep moving. And I think it's important. And a good mother knows what to give and when to give it and what to withhold and when to withhold it. You know, but nobody knows better than what we need and when to give it and when to withhold it than God does. And you must remember, with God, He has no limits. He's not limited. He's got all the resources at His fingertips. He can do anything. He can do everything. And He's done an awful lot for me, which I probably don't even know about. But I will do one day. You know, Romans 5:17, where we read, "For it was by trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision for grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" Wow. So simple. Now here's the most important question for each one of us. For every person in the world has got to answer this for themselves. Why? Because it's a personal invitation for a personal relationship with Father God, for His Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Can I ask, have you all answered God's invitation in the positive? Have you accepted His one and only Son as your Lord and Savior? If you can answer yes, you have this assurance, which we can read from John 10:28-30. Jesus speaking, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Wow. So simple, isn't it? What a promise. What an assurance. No one can shake you. No one can snatch you away from the Father's love. You know, I can remember when, I can't even remember who the minister was. I know it wasn't our minister that Sunday morning, but I went into Kestleray Baptist Church, CBC, same as this CBC, but it was Kestleray Baptist Church, not Connolly Baptist Church. And there was something said in that message. Don't ask me what it was. I can't remember the message. It's just... But my heart was stirring. And I went straight out and home. I didn't speak to anybody. I went down and I sat in front of the fire. And I was talking to myself and giving all the excuses under the sun. Oh, I can't do it. I'd have to stop smoking. I'll do this, I'll do that. You know, I won't be able to do this, I won't be able to do that. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just shook me. And I just broke down in a flood of tears. And I sobbed my heart out. And I said, come, Lord Jesus, come. Take away my sin. Come into my heart. Today, come in, I pray. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And that was the best decision I have ever made in my life. You know, and he has always been faithful. If as yet you've not decided to accept God's precious gift, my hope and my prayer is that you will give it some very serious consideration and that you don't leave it too long, because no one is promised a tomorrow. No one knows what today brings, never mind what tomorrow will bring. But we're not promised a tomorrow. We're only promised hope for today, or today and hope for tomorrow. And we all hope for tomorrow, don't we? I know why I do. But don't put off today what you can do today till tomorrow. Because for a lot of people, tomorrow never comes. So let's leave it there. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your love for each one of us. We know that you provide for all of our needs and then some. You are such a loving Heavenly Father. And Father, we thank you for our mothers, present, past, and those to come. Lord, we thank you for the instillment of the love that they have for their children. And Lord, we know it's said at times that there are some that even mothers can't love. But that cannot be said of you when you sent your only son to die for anyone, everyone, anyone who will accept, believe and accept that Jesus died for them as their personal Savior. Lord, we thank you for all you do for each one of us. Lord, we just pray that you be with us as we go about our business this week. Give us the courage to stand on your word, and when the opportunity is presented to us, as it will be from time to time, Lord, someone asking a question, give us the right word to say in love to them, not in theory or fact or trying to drive home a message, but to speak to them in love and to show your light in us to them, that they may see that it's something that they haven't got, something that they want, something that they need. So Lord, we know that you can do anything. And Lord, we just thank you for your answer to prayers. Be with us today and forever. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.